Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Murray McCain said, "I ought to spend the best hours of the day in communion with God. It is my noblest and most fruitful employment, and is not to be thrust into any corner." And to that we say amen. We believe that the best time to have devotions is in the morning. We know that other folks have other ideas about that, and that's fine. But Jesus got up a great while before day. It's a beautiful time of the day. And if you have devotions, meaningful devotions early in the morning, I assure you, if you are a child of God, if you're born again, that your day will go a whole lot better. You will be faced with challenges and difficulties and roadblocks. They will seem frustrating at times. But God will see you through, and I assure you, at the end of the day, before you go to bed, you'll look back and you'll see what God has done. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to spend the best time of our day with you. Help us not to put you in the cluttered middle. Help us not to put you at the end of the day only, but at the outset. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. We are back dealing with the family, of course, every day, and dealing with the wife in particular today. The Bible reads, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." This is a choice, ladies, that if you want to be obedient to God and be truly happy and be truly successful, you must make. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You must recognize that, ladies, in your marriage, or you will not have a happy marriage. And no matter how kind and sweet your husband is, if you disrespect him and you do not on your own submit to him and obey him, I know these are not comfortable words in this day and time, and you constantly try to beat him down to submit to you, using sarcastic statements, not taking care of things you know you should take care of, belittling him in front of your girlfriends while you're at tea or coffee, writing about him in your blog, embarrassing him before the world. And these things are going on today, and these are all designed to beat your husband down to the ground and make him cry uncle and submit to you, so that you can have control of the household and of him and of the children and everything, even though really you don't know what to do with it. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what a aged pastor's wife told me years ago. She said that there's something wicked in women, that they want to try to take the reins of the relationship. She said, "I know it's a part of the sinful nature," but she told me before I got married, she said, "Brother White, don't let her have the reins, because once she gets them, she really doesn't know what to do with them, and she's out of place. But here's the problem. If you let her have the reins, son, it's going to be very difficult to get them back. Very difficult. And so you take the leadership and you stay in leadership and you keep the reins. You keep the reins. You stay in charge. And she's going to challenge you. And she's going to bow up against you. And but you stay in control. And your marriage will be a whole lot better that way. And I have found that advice to be true. Very true. Where so many of my preacher friends and men, Christian men, that I have known down through the years, who tried these newfangled ways of marriage and talking stupid and contrary to Scripture, saying things like, God speaks to me through my wife. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. And whatever pastor told you that, or whatever book you read that told you that, is a lie. God does not need to speak to you through your wife. She is not some kind of priest over you. You're the priest of the household, sir. God is going to speak directly to you as to the direction of your family. This does not mean your wife cannot make suggestions and on certain things and make things go smoother. This does not mean that your wife is not smarter than you in certain areas. She is. She can turn a bare house into a home, and you can't. Your house would be bare for years if you did it. It looked like a bear lived there, in fact. All kinds of open containers and everything else. But a wife can make a house, and you can't do it. You don't know what it is. Sit down somewhere. You don't know what you're doing. Unless you got some sugar in your tank, you probably do. Don't you get mad with me. Will it be tough to be the head of the household? Yes. And this is why many men just go ahead on and submit to the wife and let her control things and run things until she runs it into the ground, and then they get mad and hot and bothered and want to fight and get a divorce and everything else. And you don't need to ever let it get to that point. Just stay in charge. Pray to God. Listen to God. And you tell the wife what you want her to do. And you'll be amazed that if you act like the man in a real sense and be the man, she'll follow you. She'll buck and kick, yes, if she's the average wife. She'll buck and kick and raise some cane, but that's okay. Just keep on rolling along. And you say, well, I've already said what I'm going to say, and that's it. And you can do whatever you need to do, but this is the way this family is going. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Not some things, everything. Everything. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your first institution, the family. And we know the devil has marred it. The devil is trying to completely destroy it. In fact, he's trying to completely turn it upside down on his head. But we praise you and thank you for the strong families that we've had down through the years. And we thank you for the few that are still standing strong, raising their children for your glory, praise, and honor, avoiding the divorce court, even though in their flesh they might want to do it. But because of their love for you and fear of you, in a good sense, they refuse to do that, and they do the right thing based upon what your holy word says, not what their feelings say to them. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would crush our flesh and the old man within us. Fill us all in the family with the power of your Holy Spirit to let charity begin at home, and help us to keep it real at home. Help us to love one another at home and not just love people we don't know. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Our devotional Bible passage for today is Psalm 74, 10 through 17. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? My God, what a question. It's happening today, but as you can see, God is probably getting weary and tired of this foolishness. People blaspheming him in America, the most blessed country in the history of the world, besides arguably Israel. Look at what's happening to America. America is being dismantled piece by piece. God is not like ugly, and we reap what we sow. God has been very good to us, my beloved, but we have not been good to God, and this is not going to last always. Verse 11, why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. And the church said, amen. Join me in praying for the estates, for the government and all of the other states, and for other people. We do this based upon the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, as we have prayed for all other previous presidents, at least since 1979, we pray now for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision, and other blessings upon him and his White House staff and his administration. And Lord, we do pray that you would revive the Christians in his administration. We pray also that you would give him and his family and staff wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight to do what they need to do. We pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from the White House. We pray for the leaders of all federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs as well, with the same blessings. We pray for all military leaders, and we pray for James Mad Dog Mattis in the decisions that he has to make. We pray for Secretary of State Tillerson, and we pray that the president and these two would work together and put aside any pride, any disloyalty any childishness and work together to lead this country in the right direction. And we pray for the leaders of all nations around the world. We pray the same blessings upon them. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership across this country and around the globe, that you would save those who are religious but lost, revive those who are truly saved, that they may lead Bible-believing churches in the way that they should go. We pray that you would take the scandal out of churches, take the sin out of churches, let judgment begin, as you have said in your word, in the house of God first and foremost. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events around the world. In this short version, we're not naming some of them, but Lord, you know all about them. We pray for the comfort, provision, protection, and recovery for those affected by the wildfires in California. Comfort those who have lost loved ones, and provide for those who have been displaced. And we pray the same prayers for the folks still digging out of Harvey, digging out of Irma, and digging out of Maria. And the last earthquake, earthquake down in Mexico, and also the hurricane that hit New Orleans in certain parts of America recently. And on we can go. Lord, you know all about these things. Comfort these people as only you can. And we pray for the media. Save those who are lost in the media. Revive those who are saved. And help them all to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and to stay out of the story, stop making up stories, stop lying about breaking news when it's not, and to stop creating fake news. We pray for all of the prayer requests, well, some of the prayer requests, as we have hundreds that we pray for throughout the day. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Anoja. Please deliver him from the power of perverted thoughts and actions. We pray for Gary. Please save his wife. Help her not to be angry, and help her not to believe everything people say about Gary. Help her to stop wishing he was dead. Help her to stop cursing and beating him up. Please heal Gary of his disability, chronic pain, and memory loss. And we pray for Martina. We pray that you'll save his wife and save him and his family, and have your Holy Spirit intervene in that situation. We pray for Martina. Please have Nick C. to come to know you as Savior. Please improve his hopeless situation and touch his heart. And so, Holy Father God, as usual, we see people are really hurting and going through some difficult times, and there are millions who are, and we pray that you would intervene as you see fit, and we pray for salvation for all of these people and their family members. And we also pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. There are many people who have been saved, and we thank you for that, but we're just going to pray for three this morning, to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Joshua, we pray for Shirley, and we pray for Happy. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. I don't understand how you do that, but I thank you that you do it. We pray for William, we pray for Rhett, and we pray for Savano, and we commit these souls into your hands. And we commit our souls into your hands. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, our devotional reading today, defining, is titled Defining Church. Defining Church by A.W. Tozer. He goes on to say, it is time for us to reconsider this matter of the church. Most people think of the church as a familiar social fact. A familiar social fact. Wow, how sad. The attitude toward Protestantism generally is that of a matter of course. And people, even average Christians, think they are in favor of the church. They favor the church much the same as they support motherhood, decency, apple pie, and sanitation. It is as accepted as a convention that we never question or doubt. People will even pour out their money to support social convention. But I wonder how many ever sit down and say, "What is this? Maybe the church is just something that is here. It doesn't have any value and doesn't have any reason for being here." How many present-day Christians have ever searched the Scripture with a serious burden on their hearts to know what the church is? Is it simply a convention that is carried on? How many Christians have ever prayed earnestly for light from heaven about it? It seems that the average person spends more time and intellectual labor each year filling out income tax forms than he or she spends in a lifetime trying to learn from the Scriptures and from the light of the Spirit what the church is and what he or she ought to do about it. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, the problems that we have today in the church, they were having at least the beginnings of these problems when Tozer was living. A man that, as you know, Lord, I was reading as a young Christian and a young preacher nearly 40 years ago when I could not fully understand some of the things he was saying. And I believe he was dead then. And so he was a prophet before his time, and we thank you for such men down through the years and who have been mentors to many of us. But the problem is real. In many cases, the church is just a part of the fabric in a community and not what you meant for it to be, something that would change the world, in fact, turn the world upside down. Lord, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. Revive us again so that we can be Christians known as those people who have turned the world upside down. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, all you have to do to be saved today is to understand what you're being saved from and why you're being saved from it. You must understand that you are a sinner. You are a violator of God's laws. No matter how pretty you might be, no matter how handsome you might be, no matter how much money you have crossed God. You have transgressed his laws, his commandments. You have broken some of the Ten Commandments, which means you're, according to the Scriptures, you have broken all of the Ten Commandments, and I have too, and the Pope has as well, and Billy Graham has as well. We're all in the same boat. Makes no difference whether we're black or white, red or yellow or whatever. So because of your sin, dear friend, you're on your way to hell. God loved you so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, basically meaning that God loved you so much, he died for your sins. He became the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who shed his blood, who suffered and bled and died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. It was terrible for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's bad news for him that day, but it is good news for us. That's why we call it Good Friday around Easter time. The day Jesus Christ died was a terrible day for him, but a great day for us, because he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, so that we can be saved from our just punishment, which is hell. Yes, there is a literal burning hell, according to the Word of God, according to Jesus Christ himself. And so that's what being saved is all about. You're being saved from the just punishment for your sins, which is hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life, that is in heaven. So believe on Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ, and then pray and ask him to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer on this beautiful Saturday morning here in Texas. And I hope it's beautiful where you are. But I will be more than happy to lead you in what is called the Sinner's Prayer, as Michael Lewis led me nearly 40 years ago. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, because I know that I have broken some of your commandments. I know that there has been a time in my life that I have lied. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came and died for my sins and shed his blood for my sins to take my sins away. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you for the rest of my life. Help me to turn away from my old life and to follow you for the rest of my life, on into eternity. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you just believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Just like that. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving, that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.